Grace be multiplied to you in peace through the knowledge of God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for our meditation today is found written in the Gospel of Mark, reading in the 10th chapter, verses 2 to 16. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because of your hearts that were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and then the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. So far the text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our exalted Savior, dear fellow redeemed, one of the delightful, heartwarming stories in the Bible is the episode where the risen Jesus appears to seven of his disciples on the seashore of Lake Galilee, where he revealed his identity to them in a most remarkable way. He did that by blessing them with a big catch of 153 fish, and that after they had spent the whole night toiling without catching anything, not even any small fry. And then he caringly prepared for them a baked fish breakfast on the shoreline with a side of bread. And then after breakfast, he took Simon Peter aside and asked him three times, "Do you love me?" He wished to afford Peter, who had denied Jesus three times in the courtyard of Caiaphas, opportunity to reaffirm his love for Jesus and to let Peter know, "You're forgiven." And it's significant that in this exchange that Jesus had with Peter on the shoreline that day, that he directed him to go and feed his sheep and lambs. This was to be an important part of his calling as an apostle of the risen Savior, providing spiritual instruction and guidance for both adults and children. It's the highest form of love that he would show to little children, sharing the news that Jesus had come from heaven down to earth to be the Savior of big and little people. Of course, Jesus had shown his love for little people all along the pathway of his earthly ministry. One instance of him doing this is found in this morning's text. And we want to consider it now under the theme, "Parents, love your children by cultivating a strong marriage and by bringing your children to Jesus." Words of the Savior here recorded were occasioned by a question posed to him by the Pharisees. The Pharisees, as you may know, were that religious sect, always seemed to have it in for Jesus. our hearts, self-righteousness filled with green envy for Jesus' popularity among the people. In their unbelief, they were unable to appreciate the message of his forgiveness for lost sinners. Their practice was to join themselves to audiences who were listening to Jesus preach and spy for an opportunity to undercut his message. And on this occasion, they approached Jesus as he taught and asked, "Is it proper for a man to obtain a divorce?" Their thought processes, I suppose, went something like this. Well, if Jesus answers us, divorce is okay, then we can accuse him of being a softy on divorce. But if he answers it's not okay, then we can charge him with contradicting the great prophet Moses, who gave allowances for divorce. Jesus, being aware of their game, answered with a question of his own, "What command did Moses give you?" They answered, "He gave allowances for a man to give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away." To which Jesus then replied, "Yeah, Moses wrote this commandment for you because of the hardness of your hearts and your stubborn unwillingness to let God's word speak to you and govern your daily life affairs and in your marriage relationships in love. He wanted to limit the harm and the heartache caused to homes and families by marital problems. But his original plan for the married, his beautiful blueprint, after creating them male and female, was that a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And that what he has joined together, let no man ever separate." Then we read about how when the disciples were alone with Jesus in the house that they were staying, wanted more information about this whole subject of marriage and divorce, and so they asked Jesus about it, and he again re-emphasized and reiterated what the Creator's intention was from the beginning when he created Adam and Eve, that he intended it to be till death do us part. The breaking of the marriage bond through divorce flies in the face of his good and gracious will. He hates divorce. "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another woman," he said, "commits adultery. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." Now, it should be noted, dear friends, in this whole discussion, in this connection, that Mark the Evangelist does not include everything that Jesus taught on this subject. He treated the essence of marriage and what it is from the beginning. Mark the Evangelist did not include the Bible's teaching regarding when marital unfaithfulness is involved. The spouse who has been sinned against is not bound to stay married, but may obtain a divorce, and it is not a sin before God. Or when an unbelieving spouse abandons the marriage relationship, sometimes called malicious desertion, the believing spouse is not bound in such an instance, but may obtain a divorce, and it's not sinful in the eyes of God. Mark also does not touch on the beautiful matter of forgiveness. Divorce is no more an unforgivable sin than any other transgression against God's holy law. When Jesus cried out from the cross, "It's finished," he was saying, "I've completed the work of atoning for all sins against the Ten Commandments, including sins against the sixth." The counsel the Lord especially wants to give us here in our text, in this age of easy divorce and widespread debasing of God's holy institution of marriage, is that we guard against being influenced by the so-called wisdom and progressive thinking of the unbelieving world, that we bear in mind as Christians that what society says about marriage and divorce never going to coincide with His holy will. The same hardness of heart will be in evidence, people, generally speaking, in society will always fail to recognize marriage as God's sacred institution, rejecting the Bible's definition for marriage, which is the lifelong union of one man and one woman living together as husband and wife. Marriage indeed is a special gift of the Lord by which He gives to husbands and wives the wonderful opportunity on a daily basis to reflect the love that He has for His cherished bride, the church, and that the church has for the Savior. And when married couples strive to build their marriage according to the original blueprint of the Creator, which He provided, the one beautifully described in Ephesians chapter 5, they will find that He bestows upon them also in trying days and stressful times true marital happiness. So what has all this to do with training up of children for Jesus, one might ask? Well, as He enables married couples and empowers them to project His love in their relationship, to cultivate a strong marriage with Him at the center as the ever-present invisible guest in their home, looking to Him for daily strength and guidance, He also then enables them to build up and strengthen their children in the faith. Illustration sometimes has been used of a triangle with Christ at the top and husband and wife on the two sides, and as they draw nearer to Jesus through faithful hearing and learning of His word at home and at church, they draw nearer to Christ, and the children also are thereby drawn closer to Him as well. And by the way, the Lord gives to single parents the same promise as they give attention to the one thing needful in their lives, as they seek to cultivate a gospel atmosphere in their home, reflecting Christ's love, the spirit of forgiveness to their children, He draws the children closer to Himself. I also have a story on that whole subject to further illustrate this very beautiful Bible point. I was reading the story of a little tyke named Jimmy, who was tasked by his father with a job of painting the back porch. So Jimmy rolled up his sleeves very eagerly to do this job because he really loved to paint and wanted to do a really good job to make his dad proud. Halfway through the job, he inadvertently backed into the paint bucket, knocking it over and spilling brown paint all over. And his next door neighbor, playmate friend who was standing by supervising, said, "What are your parents going to say? Are you going to be in trouble?" Just then, Jimmy's dad and mom appeared at the back door to check out how their son was doing with his assignment. They saw the big mess, expressed their displeasure over what had happened. When Jimmy sheepishly explained what had happened and expressed regret for botching his assignment, they let him know, "You're forgiven." And in the devotion that night, his dad read a Bible passage from Psalm 103, which we had in our responsive reading. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on his children, for he knows how we're formed. He's aware of our weaknesses and our limitations, and remembers that we are dust." So yeah, as our Heavenly Father, He graciously covers over with the blanket of His love, for Jesus' sake, all of our mistakes and sins, the dad stressed for his family that night. Now let's consider another way we show love for our children, in addition to building strong marriages with Christ at the center, by bringing them to Jesus, closely related thought. Mark goes on to record in our text how parents were bringing their kids to Jesus that he might take them up on his lap and give them a blessing. These parents were deeply conscious of the responsibility God had given them of bringing their children up in his training and admonition, and they thought, here's an excellent opportunity to do just that. Meanwhile, the disciples tried to shoo the parents away with their children. They may have said something to the parents like, don't you know Jesus is a busy man? He's come to earth from heaven to build his kingdom. Don't pester him with your kids. Jesus' reaction is quite telling. He became visibly upset and angry. He took the disciples to task. Let the little children come to me, he said. Do not hinder them. God's kingdom belongs to these too. I tell you the truth that anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child does will never enter it. So I want you disciples to understand that what these parents are doing, bringing these children to me, is truly a beautiful and a blessed thing. Lord Jesus is just as pleased, my friends, when he notices parents bringing their children to Jesus today, when he sees you teaching them the story of his love in the Savior, exposing them to his word on a daily basis, leading the lambs into the green pastures of his word, bringing them here to church to hear God's word, bringing them to Sunday school, in a confirmation class, and in your daily devotions at home. When he sees how parents make it a priority of leading their sons and daughters to know and believe that Jesus died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again, pleases him to no end. In conclusion, I'd like to share one other brief story. Also reiterates the thoughts that we've shared. It's of a pastor. He was serving a country church in rural Kansas, and one afternoon he went out on a visit for one of his members who happened to be a sheep farmer. He walked out with him out into the pasture while this farmer was going to check on his sheep, and all of a sudden, without warning, dark storm clouds appeared on the horizon and big wind gusts started to kick up. And so the farmer hurried with the pastor back to the barn and summoned his eldest son and called out to him, take care of the lambs. Because he knew that the little sheep of his flock were especially vulnerable to the dangers of the approaching storm and required special care and attention. So Jesus wants us to keep before us the helpless condition of his dear little lambs, our children, how susceptible they are, how in danger they are, if left to themselves, of being taken captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy of this world, which depends on human tradition and the ideas of men and the basic principles of the world rather than on the saving truths of Christ. That's why he counsels us to spare nothing in our efforts to feed them, feed my lambs. The Lord so grant us that blessing. May he bless our efforts in our marriages, in our families, and in our congregation to show our children such love. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
God, and renew our right spirit within. want. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit.